Morning. Today's Daf in Krisus is Tes. We are in Ches. We're in Ches Amud Aleph. We just finished the mission on the bottom of the Amud. Okay. The Mishnah yesterday introduced us to the idea where a woman has multiple sfeikos. She had five possible births, five possible zava experiences. So she's going to need to bring karbanos. She can't go to the Beis Mikdash. She can't herself eat karbanos. So until she brings her karbanos, they are a pair of birds, a chatos and a nola. For the woman who gave birth, it doesn't necessarily have to be a pair of birds, but it's going to be a chatos and a nola. But in any regards, so she's going to have to bring a chatos and a nola to resolve at least one of them, if not all five of them. So the Mishnah went on to describe that she'll bring one for the hechsher, and then the other four is still going to be an obligation. And then the Mishnah taught us yesterday that there was a situation where birds in Yerushalayim were costing a fortune, a small fortune. A pair of kinim were a dinar zahav, or a gold dinar, which are 25 silver dinarim. And that is a lot of money. I'm sorry, I can't put it in terms of what you and I pay, but it's a lot of money. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel made the following declaration that a woman who has multiple obligations are only going to need to bring one set of birds. And basically what he did is he drove the demand down, driving the demand down. Prices came down. Prices came crashing down. The Mishnah ends off by saying that the birds then became a quarter of a dinar, quarter of a silver dinar, which if already we're talking, that's a significant drop. The one dinar, one silver dinar is a 25th of a gold dinar, and a quarter of that. Okay, so it's like one hundredth. Okay, in any event. So this is what we saw in the Mishnah yesterday, Tanu Rabbanan. We're picking it up right where we left off on the Mishnah, on Ches Amud Aleph. So, hey, leidos vadai, hey, zivo safek. Or the Girsa over here is going to be a little bit tricky. It's hey, zivos vadai, hey, zivo safek. Oh, hey, leidos vadai, hey, leidos safek. A woman is obligated for multiple obligations. The two scenarios drawn out in this brisa is that in one scenario, it's five definitive zavas and five possible zavas. In the second scenario, five definitive leidos and five possible leidos. So, mivia beis kinem, achas alavadeh ve'achas alasafek. So she's going to bring now two pairs of birds. One is going to be for the vadai, for the definitive, and the other one's going to be for the safek. Shavan e'nechels ve'ashar alechova, shosafek e'nechels ve'enashar alechova. So for the vadai, so that will be machshir her. That will now allow her to go into the Beis HaMikdash and karbanos. And then the other four are still going to be on the books, and she's going to be obligated to bring them. For the suffix, you just bring one, and it's not going to be consumed by the Kohanim, because we don't know for sure that they're obligated. And remember now, if you have a chatas bird that has undergone the malika process, and we're not sure if malika needs to be done, so then it's not only is it not a chatas, but the bird now is an avela, so it's not going to be eaten by the Kohanim, but for her other four suffix obligations, she does not have to bring. Rav Yochanan Nuri Amar, that is the first opinion. The Gemara has a second opinion. Avadai tomer al achrona v'tipater shel safek im yesh vadai b'neim v'tomer al havadai v'tipater v'im lav tomer al echad mehem v'tipater. Rav Yochanan Nuri says basically that for her five definitive obligations. So again, similar to what the Tanakhama said, but what she should clearly articulate is that this one that I'm bringing is going to be for the most recent obligation, and then by the other four, I still owe. And we're going to explain why he makes that statement. And Rabbi Kiva, Omer ben alavade, ben alasafik, tamar alachas, mehem v'tipater. And according to Rabbi Kiva, whether it's vada or whether it's safik, you just simply say that it should go on one of them, and tipater. And that will create an exemption for the rest of them. Okay, so we have now, again, a woman who has experienced multiple obligations to bring a pair of birds, multiple leidos, multiple zivos, a combination of vada leida, suffic leida. So the Tanaim are basically arguing exactly what should be the way to resolve the problem. The Gemara now wants to know, what are we arguing about? Amalei Rav Nachman, Yitzchak Rav Papa, Eim Lecha Mishmei Derava, Hani Tanaik B'Mapligi, Rav Yochanan Nuri Medamalei Lechatos. So Rav Yochanan Nuri says that her multiple obligations is no different than the requirement to bring a carbon chatos. Demandachai v'hei chatos ad-demaisi kulon. So when you are obligated five carbon chatases, so when is the carbon chatas going to serve for you as an atonement? It's very simple. When you actually bring all five carbon chatases. And so similarly over here, when a woman has multiple obligations, she's going to be obligated all five. Now, the Tosfos himself points out it's really difficult to understand the Gemara's point over here. Why? Because with your Karban Chatas, they are serving as a kapara. And so therefore, yes, in other words, each Chatas is required because each one is providing its own kapara. But when you're talking about our Karbanos of the Hechsher type, so once she brings one set of Karbanos, yes, the other four are obligated, but she is now Mukhsher. In other words, she now is in a position where she's eligible to go in any Karban. They're not totally comparable, but okay, anyway. That's the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. And Rabbi Kiva madam lo tefillin, and Rabbi Kiva compares it to toveling in the mikvah. Demand mechayv hei tefillos kevan de tovel chadazim na'itai or hachanami lo shna. You know, when you are obligated to go to the mikvah five separate times. In other words, you become tame again, and different types of tuma, and whatever. And you become obligated to go to the mikvah, and it's multiple times, and you haven't gone. How many times do you actually need to go into the mikvah to become tahor? And the correct answer is only once. And so here, too, you only need to bring one carbon. So Amalei Rav Papa Yisakadecha, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri lechatas medamalahun, amai shal safik tomar alachas mehem v'tipater. So the Gemara says, I don't like your explanation, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. It's an incomplete explanation, because on the sfeikos, if we're comparing it to an actual carbon, like a carbon chatas, what do we know regarding an ashram talui? The Gemara now is going to tell us, ilu mande mechayev, as we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis, chamesh ashamos taluyas. Let's say you're obligated to bring five ashram taluis. The ashram talui carbon we're going to be speaking about extensively later in this mesechta. The ashram talui is when a person possibly violates nisr kares. So he's now obligated to bring an ashram talui. Therefore, if he is obligated to bring five of them, he must bring all five of them. So you're telling me that our sfeikos are going to be like the ashram talui? If that's true, you must bring all five. And meanwhile, the position of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is that, you know, you only need to bring one. So the comparison's not good. So ki maisichad mi mifter v'hatanya ze'akla kol shechalukim mechataz chalukim v'ashamos. We're going to see this rule later in the mesechta, that whatever creates a split in division between karbanos by achatas is also going to be true by our ashram taloi. Ela dekulei amal tefilos medam lahon. Everybody compares it to toveling in the mikvah. Now again, if you have multiple obligations to tovel in the mikvah, so how many times do you need to tovel? So once, and that's it. Now uvechoshin lepshia kemiflegi. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri sever choshin lepshia, and Rabbi Kiva sever lo choshin lepshia. The only thing on the table is the following. So you only need to bring our woman who has multiple leidos and multiple zivos. So is she going to have to bring a carbon for every leid and every ziva? The answer is yes. Is she going to be mukhshar after she brings one? Again, the answer is yes. So then why, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, does she have to articulate and say, the one I'm bringing now is for the most recent? Because Rav Yochanan ben Nuri's concern, explains the Gemara, that we're worried about pshia, we're worried about negligence. If let's say she does not articulate which one this was for, she'll think to herself after leaving the Beis Hamikdash, look, I know I was obligated five. I brought one. I now can eat carbon. I can now go into the Beis Hamikdash. You know what? I'm good. Meaning I don't have to bring the other four. So by her clearly articulating that this is for the most recent one, it's drilled into her that, oh, I still need to bring the other four. And meanwhile, Rabbi Kiva is not worried about Pshia. He's not worried about a woman being that negligent. And therefore, there's no requirement, according to Rabbi Kiva, for her to articulate which one she needs to bring. Hajalach Shosha Vashesh, that's the end of the first parak of the Masechta. Let's begin parak number two. Arba Mechusar Kaparva Arba Mivin Al Hazadon Kishoge. We're doing our list, more lists. We started off the Masechta with a list of 36. And now in this parak, we're going to do more of them. We're going to be doing two lists of four, two lists of five. Our first list of four is what's called Mechusar Kaparva. And the second is a group of four who bring a carbon even though they willfully violated the Isser and the Torah. Now, both of these obviously are anomalies because in both of them they only exist four times. What are the four? The Elohim Mechusri Kapara, as far as the Mechusri Kapara, meaning these are the carbonos that allow the person to go re-enter into the area of the Beis HaMikdash and to eat carbonos. So they are Zav, Zava, Yoledes, and Mitzora. The man who had a discharge, the woman who had a discharge, the woman who gave birth, and the Mitzora. Now, Zava Zava are very similar to one another, and it's interesting, the Mishnah broke it up from male to female. You notice by Tzara'as, we didn't break it up to the Mitzora and the Mitzora'as. The Gemara is going to make that observation, the Gemara is going to discuss that. So that means to say that these four people, when they're in their condition of being a Zava Zava, Yoles, or Mitzora, So from that point going forward, they can't enter into the area of the Beis HaMikdash, and they can't eat karbanos until they bring their own set of karbanos. As we already pointed out, the Zav and the Zava have to bring a pair of birds. The Yoledis brings a chatas and an ola. The chatas could be a bird. The chatas could also be an animal. And the Mitzara has a series of karbanos that they bring at the end of their tzaras, which we're going to be discussing about a little bit later on this morning. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Ger Mechuser Kapar Ad Sheyizrok Alav Adam. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, I'd like to add one more person to this list of those who are Mechuser Kapar, and that's a convert. A convert can't go into the area of the Beis HaMikdash and cannot cannot eat karbanos until he brings his own sets of karbanos. A convert brings karbanos. Now, the Gemara itself is going to wonder, does that mean that nowadays that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so can we not accept conversion? Now, everyone here already knows the answer to that question, right? For the last couple of thousand of years, we've been accepting converts. The question I guess we can formulate is why? If they can't bring karbanos, the Gemara is going to ask that question. V'nazir liyeno v'tiglachas v'tumaso. And another person we're going to add to the list of mechusri kapara is a nazir. When you're a nazir, so you are barred and banned from drinking wine. In fact, that's one of the reasons why you became a nazir, so that you will be banned from drinking wine. And now when you finish your nazirus and you count the number of days that you committed yourself to counting, and so now you're going to drink wine again, not until you bring the karbanos. So in a way, the nazir also is considered mechusri kapara because he is banned from something until he brings his karbanos. So it's kind of like the same. So he would like to add him to the list of mechusri kapara. Now, we'll discuss the Tanakhama obviously doesn't count him as one of the four, not because he disagrees with the idea, but we'll see. We'll see together later on why, according to the Tanakhama, that's not counted. We start with the Gemara on immediately after the Mishnah. Mishnah zavad zavad de mani lohom betrain mishum de chalukos. Tumas de zav lo metame ba'onis v'zav lo metame b'ri'ios kebiyamim. Zav and Zav are counted as two different categories in our Mishnah, and the Gemara explains because they're not the same halachically. There are two basic halachic differences between a Zav and a Zava. A Zav is going to be Tameh, but only if the discharge that comes out of him is not externally, it's not externally stimulated, but rather internally stimulated. I'll explain better in just a moment. And when it comes to becoming a Zav versus becoming a Zava, it's different for a man and a woman. A man becomes a Zav when he has a discharge. He will become a Zav requiring Shiva Nakiyam when he has two discharges, even in the same day. He'll become a Zav Gadol with a requirement to bring a Karban at the end when he becomes a Zav, even if he has three discharges all in the same day. So for the man and his determination of becoming a Zav, it's just simply a function of how many discharges he has, and days does not play a role. Now, that's not true regarding a woman. A woman becoming a Zava Gadola needs to have three discharges on three consecutive days. So you have this feature by a woman of days that you don't have by a man. So again, they're different, and that's why the Mishnah counted them separately. Detanya, and then, now the Gemara is just simply going to go through the drushas teaching us these points. Mi b'saro v'lo machmas on sal. So the Torah says regarding a man becoming a Zav, it is mi b'saro. It has to all come internally and not externally generated. Now, mitame the gears. I'm just changing based on the side. Mitame beriios kibiyamim detanya tala akasov es azacha beriios. Now, as far as the man is concerned, it's just discharges, right? The word the Gemara uses for discharge is riya because you have to see it, but it's the rios in this context means discharges. So it's just simply a function of the number of discharges, and it's not a question of days. Days are not a consideration. However, v'esanekeva b'yamim v'esanekeva b'yamim v'zava metame ba'onus v'lo metame b'rios kibiyamim. Okay. Now, mitzora u'mitzoras nami chaluka tum asam. So the Gemara says, if that's a reason why our Mishnah broke up a zava and a zava, so let us now take into consideration we should do the same thing with the mitzora, separating the male and the female and counting them as two in our Mishnah. Why? The mitzora tam prio prima. As far as the mitzora is concerned, as part of the Tara process, he needs to tear his clothing. He needs to allow his hair to grow out. By the way, in terms of the translations, just flip around what I just said. Okay, fine. Priya, prima. Either way. Another feature of the mitzora, the male mitzora, is that he cannot be with his wife. Now, as far as a woman mitzora is concerned, she does not require priya prima. Detanya ein le'ala ish isha minayin, kishuamer v'atzara harei kan shnayim. Im kam matam alamer ish. Now, the first thing the Braisa establishes is, can a woman become a tzara altogether? Yes. Even though the Torah says the word ish, but it also says hatzarua, which means that a woman is eligible to become a mitzora. Now, it's funny, we know that already from, based on just a narration in the Torah regarding Miriam. But either way. So, im kem atam alamer ish, nitko hakasov me'inyan shamal le'inyan shamat, alamer ish parua parem ve'in isha parasu faramas. So the Gemara says, as far as the ish is concerned, that's just vis-a-vis a detail in the tzaras, notably priya uprima. The idea of growing out your hair and tearing your clothing is specific only to a man, not to a woman. Umuteres betash b'shem amita. When a woman is a mitzara, she could be with her husband. Shenemar v'yashav mechutz la'o halo, shivas yamim v'lo mechutz la'o hala. It's a drasha. O halo, not o hala. She could be with her husband when she's a mitzara. Hilkach nimninu betrain zav v'zave. I'm sorry. Hilkach nimninu betrain. So the question now on the table is, now we see that there are very clear halachic differences between a mitzara and a mitzara'as. So consequently now, that should mean that they should be counted like two, much like the zav and zava are counted as two. The Gemara here deflects. Zav zava ikar tumasan chaluka, mitzara mitzara'as ein ikar tumasan chaluka. You're right, there are differences, but where are the differences? When it comes to zav and zava, there are differences in how to become a zav and a zava. That the Gemara describes as ikar tuma. But when it comes to a mitzora, to become a mitzora, they're the same. Once they become a mitzora, and in terms of processes for tahara, so they're different. But the ikar tuma, they're the same. Haivahai kegrizu. All you need is the size of a tzara's spot on your skin, the size of a gris, and you become tameh, and that is irrespective of male or female. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov omer ger mechusar. V'tanakama mai taima lo tni ger. Tanakama doesn't count ger as one of the mechusre kapara. Why not? Answer is very simple. Ger ki katani midam de mishre lemecha bekadashim. Ger ki kamaisi karban achshuri nafshe lemeal bekal. We have to look over here at the goal and purpose of bringing karbanos. For the mechusre kapara, the goal is one single goal, so that I can go into the base of mikdash and that I can eat karbanos. That's it. If that's why I'm bringing these karbanos, so then it falls under the category of mechusre kapara. And there are only four of them. You see, the ger, it's true that once he brings his karbanos, he can now go into the base of mikdash and he can now eat karbanos. All that's true. But that's not the main purpose of him bringing his karbanos. He's bringing his karbanos for gerus. He's going to be now able to be married. He's going to be able to marry a Jew. He's going to be chayv in all mitzvahs in the Torah. Meaning the karbanos there, it's true. In addition to allowing him to go into the area of the base of mikdash and eating karbanos, it also facilitates his conversion. So that's why the Tanakhama didn't count it. V'nazir my time alo, tenisof sof, nazir nam, ki maisi karban le'ishtiru le'mishte yayin, the kulenu. And as far as the nazir is concerned, I'm not counting that as well, says the Tanakhama, because it's true, the nazir won't be able to drink wine until he brings his karbanos, you're right, but we're talking about wine, and my list of four is the allowance to be able to eat karbanos. Wine is nice, but wine is just kulen. Okay, so that's why it's not counted towards the four. V'Rav Elazar d'kani nazir l'mishrei nafshei nesdinami nazir tamei. Question on the table, says the Gemara. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, I'm not following. If you are counting the nazir tara as mechusre kapara, nazir tamei, isn't that the same thing? Meaning he won't be able to start counting his nazirus anew until he brings his karbanos for nazir tamei. So the Gemara says, ki kamaisi karban l'mechel alah nazirus betarahu. So the Gemara says that's true, but it's not really mechusre kapara. By nazir tame, what does the karbanos allow him to do? Restart his nazirus. We're looking at karbanos where it really gives a total allowance and it really removes the previous status. Tana Rabbanan. Ger mu'ukav le'chol b'kadoshim ad shi'avi kino. A ger, a convert, cannot eat karbanos until he brings his own karbanos. Meaning, again, we're assuming that we all know, and the Gemara is going to establish it better later on, that in order to convert, you have to, in addition to getting the mila, going and toveling in the mikvah, and kabbalas ha-mitzvos, there also is a requirement to bring karbanos. Once you bring your karban, so then the ger is allowed to eat karbanos himself. He brings a bird. Now, as we're going to learn in just a moment, it's really a pair of birds, but he brings a bird in the morning. That now achieves and satisfies his gerus. so that already that evening he can eat karbanos. Now, generally speaking, when you're obligated to bring a pair of birds, how does it look? It's very simple. One is a pair, one being a chatzos and one being an ola. That's the standard presentation of a birds as karbanos. Kan shteim olos. But for a convert, there are going to be two birds, so it'll be a pair, but each one of them will be an ola. Hevi chavasa min abehema yatsa. Now, it doesn't have to be birds. He could bring an animal. That would be fine. Olos ushlamim yatsa. If it's an ola and a shlamim, that would work. Mincha ushlamim lo yatsa. However, neither mincha or shlamim would work as his karban. Now, lo amrukein ela lahakel. Now, birds, because basically, we don't want to make it difficult for him. Right, it's always fickle in terms of our proselytizing. Like, we want to make it easy for them, we want to make it difficult for them. Somewhere in the middle. Okay. Yes and yes. Ma'ishlam mincha shlamim delo yatsa dichziv. Now, all this comes from where? Meaning, really a basic fundamental question. A ger has to bring karbanos in order to convert. Where? Where do we see that in the Torah? And so basically what we're going to see now is that the model of conversion comes from Mamad Har Sinai. Mamad Har Sinai is conversion for the entire Jewish people. Whatever we did over there for conversion, so that now will serve as a template for what conversion looks like for all future generations. What happened at Mamad Har Sinai? The Gemara goes on to say. Now, over here, it's really a combination of two things. One is the episode of Mamad Har Sinai, that's obviously located back in Parshas Yisro. And by the way, some of it also later in Parshas Mishpatim, the end of Parshas Mishpatim. And then on top of that, there's also a section in Parshas Shlach. I know it sounds a little bit random, but when the Parsha of the Nesachim, the libations that come together with a karban, so there the Torah also makes reference to a ger, to a convert. So we're really looking at these two Parshas. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Kasher ta'asu, ken ya'aseh, ma'atem, just like you do, that's what they do. And in context, if you see the Pesukim in context, you see it's talking about a convert. Ma'atem olav v'shlamim, avger olav v'shlamim. So just like you, the Jewish people, when you converted, you brought olav v'shlamim, so does the ger as well. In kein chovaso achas min behem lo tizgei, ale begave, da'aksiv kasher ta'asu ken ya'aseh. So if this is so, the obligation should come from an animal. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. The pasuk says, "Kasher tasu ken yaseh." "Kasher tasu ken yaseh." If we brought animals at Mamad Har Sinai, so shouldn't the ger bring animals? Amra Papa Yeshlamer lo ofis rabe lo olas behema lo kol shekain. So the Gemara says, well, we'll make the following argument. The argument is that we have a ribui, an inclusionary pasuk. We're going to see it in just a moment. The inclusionary pasuk is coming to tell us that yes, it's true, we brought animals at Mamad Har Sinai. But it really isn't the animal that's key, it's the ola which is key. So as long as it's a carbon ola, you're fine. Birds can come as a carbon ola. So the Gemara says, well, if we're saying that in addition to an animal, a carbon could also bring a bird, well, why not a mincha as well? So mia kra kain. So the Torah says the word kain, which means that there is a breakpoint. There's a limitation. Meaning it's true that it doesn't have to be animal, but it has to be something more similar to an animal, which are birds, but not a mincha. Va'ov heches rabba. Okay. Now, we made the point just moments earlier that a bird is going to be included, meaning that the Torah gives us a ribui that tells us a convert can bring a bird. Where did we see that? Tan rabbanan kasher tasu ken yaseh ma'atem olav v'shlamim, afhu olav v'shlamim, shenemer kachem kager. So, again, looking at the two parshios, one in Yisro and Mishpatim, and the other in Shlach. So whatever we did, that's what the ger has to do. We brought olav v'shlamim, so does the ger. So then the obvious question, minayin l'rabba says, how do I know that the ger can bring a bird? Tamalamer, ishet rech nicholach l'Hashem, ezo davar she kula l'Hashem, as long as it's kula l'Hashem, haviyomer, olav sa'ov. So as I pointed out earlier, but here you see the drush inside, the pasuk says that it's ishet, something that is totally burnt, i.e. an ola. As long as it's an ola, that would work and facilitate for the geris. Yachosh animar afila mincha. What about a mincha? Tamar lomar kain. So again, the repetition of what we made earlier, the word kain. Kain is coming to exclude and limit us from a mincha. A ger has to bring an animal or a bird, but not a mincha. Tan yidach, the Gemara quotes another brisa. This other brisa is also going to darshan the psukim and is going to arrive at the same conclusions, but a somewhat different route. A Again, this is now the Pesukim in Parsha Shlach. Shomayin Yikol She'olel Ishim Afilo Mincha. Anything that goes up on the fire, even a mincha. So Tamalam or Kasher Tasu Ken Yasem. Atem Minei Damim. Avhein Minei Damim. Again, go back to the template. The template is Mamad Har Sinai. We brought animals that have blood. So for a convert to convert, it's got to be animals with blood. Imahasim Olah Shlamim. Avhein Olah Vishlamim. Okay, but don't stop there. Let's keep going with the comparison. You know, at Mamad Har Sinai, we brought all of Ishlamim. We should say the same thing regarding the ger. Tamalamer kachem kager yia. Lachem hikshitiv velo le, now the girsa, velo le, skip the words, le karbonoseichem. It's not a full comparison, meaning that it doesn't have to be exactly as we modeled it, but similar. Rebbe omer kachem kavoseichem, avoseichem lo nichnus lebris ela be milo tvil of artsaz dam, avhem lo yichnus lebris ela be milo vitvil of artsaz damim. Rebbe, again, is going to be arriving at the same conclusion, using the Mamad Har Sinai as our template. Just like over there at Mamad Har Sinai. So it was Bris Mila. It was Tvila. It was Toveling in the Mikvah. And it was also the bringing of Karbanos. So any time in the future that somebody wants to come on board to Yiddishkeit, so it's got to be all three. Lehavi Preida Achas Yevshar Shalom Matzina B'chola Torah Kula. That means to say that the carbon has to have blood. So it could be an animal, it could be a bird. What about one bird? No. Birds come as a pair as far as the Mizbech is concerned. So it can't be one bird. Lo amru kein ela lahaka Allah. Velo v'atanya v'krivo. Ma tam alam ar yofi shenemar b'torim v'kriv. Shomea ani haomer haray alai ola sa'of. Lo yivchos mishnei predim. Tam alam ar v'krivo v'afilo preda achas. So the Gemara is bothered by the following brisa. I know I read it quickly. I'll explain it succinctly. The brisa says that when it comes to a voluntary bird, you can bring one. You don't have to bring two. And now, we've been saying as dogma for the last 20 minutes that birds have to come as a pair. And the Gemara is bothered by the fact that it's not true. You can donate a bird as one bird. The Gemara makes a distinction. Chova mia lo ashkechan. So the Gemara says, you're right, but not as an obligation. As an obligation, birds come as pairs. As a nedava, a bird can be brought as one single. Vaika yoledes demasya benyona otor lechatas. The Gemara says, now what about our yoledes? After a woman has given birth, it's not an option. She's obligated to bring her karbanos. Now it's only one bird, so the Gemara says mishum deika keves b'hadam. Okay, it's not a bird by itself. Meaning, remember, the keves has to come together with the bird. So, and if she can't afford it, so then she can bring a pair of birds. But the bird doesn't come isolated by itself. The bird is going to be accompanied by something. Amar mar. Ma v'sechem lo nichnos debris ella bishlam amila dichsiv. Now, what the Gemara wants to know is, you know, Rebbe made the following statement. At Mamad Har Sinai, the template of conversion, so there was mila, tvila, hartzaz adam. The Gemara would now like to establish, where do we see all of these? And the Gemara is going to go through each one. Mila dichsiv kimulim hayu kol ha'am hayotzim. So mila, the pasuk says that. Now the pasuk is really a retro, because the pasuk is in Yoshua describing our situation when we left Mitzrayim. But still, in other words, it's clear description that we got a bris mila when we left Mitzrayim. Inami me'ach v'avor alach v'arech mitzboseses b'damayich v'omer lach b'damayich hayi v'omer lach b'damayich hayi. Now the pasuk in Yecheskel, so it became popular. We say it at the Seder as part of the Haggadah. But the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw us, and he said, twice, with your blood, I'm going to redeem you. Referring to two bloods. One, Karban Pesach. Two, the Mila. So, we're singing it right here. Hartzaz Damim. B'nei Yisrael. So, and as far as bringing Karbanos are concerned, so once again, we have clarity on that as well. If you go to the end of Mishpatim, which is really a recap of Mamad Har Sinai, it's a revisiting of Mamad Har Sinai, if you will. It's not totally clear. The Mefarshim and Chumash discuss this. The end of Farshish Mishpatim, is that a, once again, bringing us to the beginning of Mamad Har Sinai? Is it 7 days later? Okay. In terms of chronology, it's a little bit unclear. However, it's for our purposes, we could say it's so simple. It's part of Mamad Har Sinai, and there are Karbanos that were offered, so therefore Karbanos is also part of the conversion process. Ela Tfila Minalam. But what about Tovling the Mikvah? Dichsiv the Pasuk. It says, Veikach Moshe Chatzi Adam Veizrok Alaam. So Moshe takes the blood. Again, more description at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. And he does zrika, and he sprinkles it. Now, we have the following tradition. Ein hazah below tvila. Now, for sprinkling to occur, there's also going to be toveling in the mikvah. Consider, for example, the paraduma and being sprinkled with the paraduma. So you're being sprinkled on day 3 and 7, and that's enough? No. On day 7, you're also toveling in the mikvah. So hazah and tefillah always come together. If the Torah is describing hazah, that means that there's tefillah there as well. So elamayata aina deleka karban lo nekabel gerim. After having now established that for the gerus process, the template of gerus is mamad har Sinai, where there are three features. So the Gemara now asks the question, which I foreshadowed at the beginning of the perek. How then do we accept converts? We can only do two of the three. Our inability to bring a carbon, shouldn't that preclude a convert from converting? Amar of Achar bar Yaakov v'chiagor itchem ger asher besochechem. So the Gemara darshan's a pasuk back in Parsha Shlach. And the pasuk says that if he's amongst you any time historically, he can convert. So that means that the Torah allows for conversion to happen any period historically. Historically, there's a lot of time where we couldn't offer karbanos, right? It's sad to say, but the majority of Jewish history right now has been where we could not offer karbanos. The Beis HaMikdash, and even if we're going to add Mishkan Shiloh, still represents a minority of Jewish history. So the Gemara says, okay, asher besochechem. As any period in history, you can accept a ger. Tanur Rabbanan ger bezman hazeh tzarich sheyafrish rova likino. Gemara now offers the following, I'm going to say suggestion. It's not a suggestion. It's a shita. As we'll see, it's a shita that's not accepted, but it's a shita. You have somebody convert nowadays. So if it's a man, bris mila, and tefillah b'mikvah, and of course, kabbalah samitzvahs. And now, what about the carbon? So as we just learned together, he can't bring a carbon. We don't have a base of mikdash. Should he at least set aside money for the carbon? So the Tanakhama says, yes, that's exactly what he should do. So that b'mher b'yaminu, when Mashiach comes and we have a new base of mikdash, so he'll be bringing a carbon that he already set aside money for. Rav Yochum and Zakkai considered that and rejected that as an idea. Bad idea, says Rav Yochum and Zakkai. And we can all understand why. You have that hektish money lying around your house. Now, hopefully, the Beis HaMikdash will be built in our day. But if it's not, so then you have this hektish money just lying around, and it's so easy to stumble over that money, use it, misappropriate it, and be in violation of Mi'ilah. So the Gemara says, and that's in fact the accepted halacha. A ger nowadays does not set aside money for his carbon. Some take that last statement and apply it to a different point. Okay, the status of the ger toshav. Ger toshav, we encounter the ger toshav throughout Shas. He's a moving target. In terms of his status, in terms of the halacha, he is not a full convert. He does not observe Shabbos. He does not eat kosher. He commits himself not to being over to Avodah Zarah, which, as I always point out whenever I make this point, that's true by every Ben Noach. Maybe it's a special commitment. Whatever the case is, the example that I say throughout, you've heard me say this before. It's like someone with a green card. In other words, have total allowance to be in Eretz Yisrael, but just not a member of the club. So the ger toshav. So now mutalas was malacha b'shabbos atzmo ki Yisrael b'chol shel moed. So as far as the ger toshav is concerned, he could do malacha on Shabbos like a Jew can do malacha on chol moed. Meaning, but according to the Tanakhama, that means with reservation. We know that on chol moed malacha can be done, but there has to be conditions that are met. The first Perek of Moed Katan discusses it in detail, what can and cannot be done in Chol HaMoed. So basically the idea is Ger Toshav can violate the Shabbos, but with reservation. Rabbi Kiva Amar Kisrael B'Yom Tov. Rabbi Kiva actually says more reservation, meaning like what we could do on Yontif. What we can do on Yontif is cook. So, right, and Ochel Nefesh. So that would be the status of the Ger Toshav vis-a-vis Shabbos. So that's even more reservation. And Rav Yossi Omer Ger Toshav Osta B'Shabbos La'atzmo Ki Yisrael B'chol. And finally, the third opinion is that Rav Yossi, as far as the Ger Toshav is concerned, Shabbos is a weekday. Shabbos is not Shabbos. Okay, so everyone's of the opinion that they could violate Shabbos. It's just a question of with what kind of hesitancy. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer Echad Ger Toshav Echad Ovei Kochavim Eved Va'ama Toshavim Osim Malacha B'Shabbos La'atzman Ki Yisrael B'chol. And the Gemara finally concludes that the halacha accords with the most recent position, which is that a Shabbos for the Ger Toshav is going to be like a weekday. That line, it's a great pickup. I didn't know how to make heads and tails of that line. Okay. Such a good pickup. Yeah.
There's a tevila for Har Sinai. The tevila was the fact that Bnei Israel went through the sea, or they were actually a tevila. Where do they do it?
Excellent question. The Gemara does not give us the details. So what I would be saying would be conjecture. I'm not going to say. I don't know.
Miriam well would have been used for a tevila.
You're asking? I don't know.
When you were going back comparing to the tefillin, to the mikveh and so forth and all the dipping, when we do multiple kelim, we still do one bracha for the multiple kelim.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not five different. Thank you. So why oles? So why then is that the comparison when you only do one bracha?
So I'll tell you what. After the daf, we'll come back and we'll discuss.
Okay.
Elam Avian. We are up to the Mishnah now, on the middle of Tetzamad Aleph. Elam Avian Malazadom Kishogeg. Generally speaking, when it comes to Karban Chatos, so Karban Chatos is brought for Shogeg, for inadvertent violation of the Torah. Now again, Shogeg doesn't mean that it was an absolute freak accident. It means that you just simply weren't careful enough. You woke up, you thought it was Sunday instead of Shabbos. Or you forgot about a particular halacha regarding Shabbos. So these are examples of shogeg. It was unawareness, but you should have been more confident. You should have been more diligent. And so therefore, a carbon is brought to serve as a kapara. What the Mishnah is telling us is four instances in halacha where, even if I willfully violate the Torah, there is a carbon opportunity. What are they? Habala shivcha. Man has been relations with a shivcha. We'll explain that in better detail later on. Nazir shenitma. A nazir becoming tamei. Shvua sa'edus. A person suppressing testimony, being subpoenaed and asked to testify in court, and he says, don't know what you're talking about, never was there, did not see the event. He lied under oath and to that effect. And finally, Shvosa Pikadon, swearing falsely to having somebody else's money. So these are all instances where a carbon is required, all these four instances, and it's a tremendous chiddush that even if he willfully violated any of these four, he still has an opportunity to bring a carbon. Five times in halacha where a person brings one carbon for multiple violations. Five times in halacha where you have the carbon olav yored, the adjustable carbon chatas. So these are a list of five. Elo mivin carbon echel averes harbe, habala shivcha bios harbe, v'nazir shinit matumas harbe. So as far as the five halachas in which you bring one carbon, the Mishnah lists two. Now, that's a little bit strange because there are five. So hold on, because the next Mishnah will go over the other three. So of the two, so one is a man who has relations with a shivcha multiple times, so still one karban for that multiple violation, and the nazir becoming tameh multiple times. Okay, a lot to discuss in our Mishnah, obviously. Let's start with the Gemara Bala Shivcha Minalan. A man has relations with a shivcha. Now, we're talking about having relations with a shivcha, she's married. Well, if she's married, isn't that adultery? So, it's a funny marriage in halacha. It's a unique marriage in halacha. Our shivcha kananis is going to be dedicated to an eved ivri. They're going to be paired and matched with one another. We learned that an eved ivri is allowed to be with a shivcha kananis, and they can have children. Now, the children are hers, not his. They are right. They're part of the slave group. So they're hers, not his. But nevertheless, though, this woman now is considered, now I'm going to use the word married, but marriage over here just simply means dedicated and set aside to a man. When she has relations now with another man, so that is not the classic niyuf, adultery, because of course the classic niyuf is going to have the punishment of chenek. It is a capital crime. So over here, it's going to be that a carbon is brought. Now, carbon is brought by whom? By him, by her. We're going to explain that in just a moment. And what we're learning together now is two things. One is that the carbon is brought even if the act was done b'mezid. Two is that one carbon is brought even from multiple acts. And the Gemara is going to darshan. Habala shivcha minalan tan rabban v'chipar alav ha-kohen be'el asham al chataso shechata. Malam ishe maybe carbon echad al averos harbe. So now there are two distinct points that were made. And by the way, we already made both the points in the Mishnah. The drushas here work in the opposite order as was presented in the Mishnah. The first drasha is achatasor asher chata, the redundant language. Al chatasor asher chata is coming to teach me that one carbon even for multiple acts. And v'nislachlo mechatasor asher chata, in the pasuk also it says that he will be forgiven for the sin that he sinned. Once again, redundant language. Lasos. Now the correct gears of the Gemara over here seems more like mezid kishogeg, meaning shogeg of course is the default position in which you bring a carbon, and mezid also you're going to bring a carbon as well. Nazir shenitma minalan dechsev. We'll come back to the shivcha a little bit later. Nazir shenitma minalan dechsev ki amos meis ella ala befesa pitom. So how do I know that a person who becomes tameh is still who is a nazir? And to resume his Naziris is going to have to go through the Tahara process and bring Karbanos. How do I know that those Karbanos are going to be brought even if it was B'mezid? So the Gemara Darshan Zepsukim. Pesa Zeshogeg. So the word Pesa actually defines Zeshogeg. V'cheinu amrim b'pesa b'lo eva hadafo. We have Psukim in the Torah that clearly speak to the idea that Pesa means it was unintentional. Specific over here to murder. Unintentional murder. Right, manslaughter is what we call it here in this country.
What does it mean?
Because the Gemara is telling us it means inadvertent.
Yeah, like you're swinging an axe and the head falls off.
Correct. Pitom ze ones. Now, as far as pitom is concerned, that's ones. That was totally unavoidable. V'cheinu omer v'yomer Hashem pitom Moshe. Tanyidach pitom ze mezid. Now, in another brace, the word pitom actually means it was intentional. V'cheinu omer arum ra'a v'nistar. Upitom avdo v'ne'enshu. So the pasuk in Mishlei describing the pitom in context clearly is referring to someone who deliberately violates. So nichtov kra pitom demashma shogi umashma mezid umashma ones. So the Gemara says, well, if we're right about our definitions, why not just simply have the Torah write the word pitom? From the word pitom by itself, we can get shogig, we can get mezid, we can get ones. Mezid v'ones kedamar. As far as pitom being both mezid and ones, we've just established that based on the psukim that we quoted. And umashman ami shogeg. Now, pitom also, by the way, could go for shogeg. Dechsev, pesi yamin l'chol davar. The pasuk, once again, in Mishlei, speaks to the idea of being a pesi from the word pitom. And in context, it's referring to somebody who is a shogeg. V'lo nechtav kra peta. So the Gemara says, and once we have the pitom being shogeg and ones and mezid, and so therefore shouldn't pitom be enough? And why does the Torah also have to add the word pesa with an ayin at the end? Because of kra pitom demashma shogeg mashma mezid umashma ones have aminik ymaisi karma b'shogeg midid have a Torah kula. The explanation is so simple, because if the Torah would have just said pitom, which has multiple definitions, but here's what I would have said: let's not go with every definition, go with shogeg, because we're talking about a carbon, and you know when you bring a carbon, shogeg. So here too, shogeg. So aval onis amazin, him alone. But I wouldn't bring a carbon for onis amazin. So kasu rachmana, pesa, de shogeg hu legluy ala, de pitom de onis amazin hu dafilo hachi chai for rachmana. By pesa, now referring to the shogeg, so now when the Torah rolls out the word pitom, so now I know it's not talking about shogeg because I already got that covered under pesa. And so now what am I left with? I'm left with giving alternative pshatim, onis and mezin. Ushvus ha'edus. Aminantan Rabban Bekula Nemar Vinelam, Vekan lo Nemar Vinelam. When the Torah introduces us to the Isser of suppressing testimony, the Torah doesn't use the word Ne'elam. And it was concealed from him, meaning he forgot. He didn't forget. Even though he deliberately suppressing testimony, there still is a carbon opportunity. Lechayiv alha, and again we'll change around the words, ala mezid kishogi. Shvus ha'bikad aminalan yalif techatechatechatam ishvus ha'edus. As far as the same halacha is being true by Shavuos Bikadon, the denial and the oath that I don't owe somebody money, so that too is going to, a carbon is going to be required even in a case of mezid. The Gemara says, Gzereshava. Okay, to the previous parsha, the previous pasuk of Shavuos Eidos. Chamisha.
Shogeg, you forgot?
By what? By Shavuos Bikadon?
Yeah,
you forgot. Yeah, you gave me money and I literally forgot. I. Chamisha mevin carbon echad al aver sarbe, ketani habala shivcha bios harbe minalan. Tan Rabban v'chiper alav akoyim ve'el ha'asham v'achat asor asher chatam alamit shemevi carbon echad alaveros harbe. Now, this Gemara that I just read, so hopefully your memory is good. It was the same exact Gemara that we did in the middle of this Amud. Okay, good. And therefore, I'm just going to go on. V'nisach lo mechat asor asher chatal asos mezid kishogeg. and he's going to be forgiven. The extra words, Asher Chata, Mezik Kishogi. You bring a carbon even for Mezik. V'hakra kiksiv v'mezik siv. Now, if you look in the Pasuk, clearly the context of the Pasuk is talking about Mezik. Ela eim alaso shogi kemezik. So the truth of the matter is, here for Shivcha, the carbon is for both Mezik and Shogi. But the starting point is Mezik. Abamine Rebbe Chanina, Tirana Merev Yochan, Abal Chamesh Shivchos Charufos, Balam Echad Mahu. Chayva kol achas v'achas, v'enu chayva ela achas. A man has relations with a Shivcha Kananis with five separate Shivchas Kananis. What's the question? Having multiple acts with one woman only yields one carbon requirement. So maybe the same thing would be true with five different women. Amalei chai v'kol achas v'achas, the Gemara says no. You're chai for each one. Ma'ishtam v'chamesh alamos b'shivcha achas. Amalei ein shivcha achas gufin. Amalei in. Shivcha achas gufin muchlakin. Hei shvachos gufin muchlakin. The distinction is very basic. When it's one woman, when it's the same woman but multiple acts, so that is going to be still, that's not going to be divided and separated. Five different women, that's what's called in halacha gufin muchlakin. One of the terms that we see in our Masechta again and again. So when it comes to arayos, so we know this idea of gufin muchlakin, the pasuk says the word isha, every woman represents its own separate isser, even though this, it's the same isser. A man has relations with one nida, and then another nida, and another nida. Every woman is going to be a separate act and a separate violation. So, Gabi Shivchana, Miksiv, Asher Yishkav, Es Isha, Shichvat Zera. If you look at the Parsha of Shivcha Charufa, you will see that the Torah uses the word Isha. It's the same thing. So, Vihi Shivcha, Lachalaka, Kol Shivcha, V'Shivcha. Nazir Shit Nitma. Okay, the next little bit of Gemara, I'm going to go quickly, because this too is a review of what we did earlier in the Masechta. Nazir Shinit Matumas Harbei. Man Tana Amr of Chisra Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Hid Amr. Nazir Satahara. Mishviya Hu Dechaile Aleha. Remember, we had this discussion, this debate. We did this already in our Masechta. This was back on Dav Beis. So in a week and a half time, we get to review this Gemara again. A Nazir Tame who now wants to resume or restart, said better, his Nazira. So what will he do? So he will go through the Tahara process of a regular Tumas Mace. And then it starts his count anew. And your two options of when you get to start your count anew is either going to be on day 7, because on day 7 he has concluded his tahara, or on day 8. Why day 8? Because that's when he brings his karbanos. And so what does this represent? A machlokus amongst the tanayim. We're looking for now the sweet spot where we could ring it up as multiple tumas, even though only one carbon is going to satisfy it. Because the Gemara says, consider. The E Rebbe came to Amar Rebbe Nazir Satara, Shmina lo chayla laha, idin nitma b'shviya v'chazim nitma b'shviya kula tuma arechtahi. Because according to Rebbe, when does he get to restart his Nazirus? Only on day 8. Now, that means that according to Rebbe, if he becomes Tamei on day 7 of his Yemei Tahara, so then, what is that? It just simply is now an extension of his Tuma. Because he didn't get to start recount on day 7. So we're not looking at multiple tumas, because it's all one long continuum. What if he becomes tame on day 8? Well, then he's not going to be able to get away with just bringing one set of karbanos, because once he has now approached and entered day 8, so now that obligates him to bring his karbanos for the previous tuma, and then when he becomes tame again on day 8, he's obviously after tahara going to have to bring another set of karbanos. So the sweet spot of having multiple tumas but only one set of karbanos is only going to work according to the opinion of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. And everything I just said, the Gemara is not going to speak out. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara goes over the machlokus, and again, this too we did at the beginning of the Masechta, Ditanya, V'kiddush Esrosho B'Yamahu. So he's going to sanctify his head, meaning restart his count, on that day. Oh, the pronoun game. So on that day, which is that day? So b'yom habas karbanosav divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says on the day that he brings his karbanos, meaning day 8. Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, Omer b'yom taglachso, the day that he shaves his head, meaning the day that he concludes his tahara, that's day 7. So it is a machlokus in terms of when he gets to restart his karbanos. This idea of our Mishnah, that you're going to be bringing one set of karbanos for multiple tumas, only works out within the opinion of Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda.